employee rate is that the county currently pays for them, then they would pay that out of their pocket. There would be no difference in that group.
I don't think they could go out, and I think that's the reason that this is being asked of us, is there's no way they can go out and touch that privately.
And part of that is you guys have what's called a composite rate, which means that, you know, and your average age is probably 45, right? And so everybody's paying the rate of a 45-year-old. Well, a 55-year-old absolutely would benefit from paying that rate because they're not really paying the rate of how old they really are. And we have several, you know, municipalities that do that or offer to allow that, and several that don't. So it really just comes down to how you guys want to run your plan.
But those claims would go against us.
Absolutely. They would be part of the losses that we go through.
I'm assuming they'd be part of it and everything just like an employee.
Yeah. There'd be no difference. Benefits or premiums, or they'd just be included along with everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Until they reach 65. I mean, isn't that...
Well, that'd be part of our...
Party, yeah.
And I forget what it is now, but it's no longer. Yeah, 65 is still for Medicare,
yeah.
I guess. So, yes, it would be 65. However, with Washington convorting and doing things, certainly they may start tinkering with that Medicare age. And if so, you'd have to figure out how you wanted to whether you wanted to match and mirror Medicare eligibility. A lot of the retirement plans these days are going, or disability plans, match Social Security whenever it kicks in. Then that's when the disability runs out or whatever.
Something I thought Mike was going to ask, and I interrupted him, because we're in here under insurance discussion. Do we need to look at doing some sort of self-insurance? Are we large enough to do that? Do we pay enough to have those types of, and then back it up with some sort of catastrophic plan?
You certainly are large enough, and you could do it. I think the packet to our right that we're going to go over would probably... lead us not to go down that road.
That's why I said have a catastrophic plan.
Yeah, right. Well, there are some provisions within your current plan that are buffering you from taking a much larger increase and a much larger hit.
For this year. But what about for next year?
And so going forward, typically when people jump off and self-insure, which you can actually do that with Cox, but you don't have to. You can do it with a multitude of different companies. But that being said, you typically want to do that when you're healthy. And so to do that now, and knowing that we have ongoing claims that more than likely are going to go into next year, now would not be the time to do that. You're benefiting from the group reinsurance policy that Cox has, and the fact that they don't experience rate it, meaning that you're paying the same rate per person as everybody else, but you're a net taker from that policy right now because there's significant claims that are being made against the reinsurance as we speak.
A lot of our budget concerns come from insurance.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. We looked it up last year, but even with an 11%, I want to say since I've been in office, our insurance costs have gone up. Don't hold me to this, so I'm not. But I want to say in the $700,000 to $800,000 range. Does that sound right? Does anybody know?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I was thinking that our insurance costs went. I mean, just
it's highly likely. And I'd like to tell you that wasn't the what's going on all over Taney County.
It's going everywhere. I understand that. It's going on in some places even more. I mean, we've been able to keep it at that 11% increase, where some are getting 25 to 40% increases. So I mean, we've been able to.
Well, prescription drug, I mean, are outrageous.
Yeah, and there's claims that show that too. You know, a lot of my groups. It's not as bad for you guys. Your shot claims still revolve around more inpatient type things at this point, but I'm starting to see a major spike in prescription drugs when I look at all of our groups, particularly Hep C drugs that have come out that are $120,000 a treatment course over 90 days.
Yeah.
It's come down to like 90 now. But it's, you know, so there are these designer drugs, as they call them, which are wonderful, but man, they're expensive, and it flows through your health.
Yeah.
We need to look at raising the deductible.
Certainly an option. As well as an option, I have some alternatives here if the commission is so inclined to get into that discussion.
I mean, that's up to these guys, I think. Again, we're agendized for an insurance discussion. We'll probably start working on the budget more seriously in the next few weeks. So it'll probably be good to have that information.
These are, and we just asked Cox Health Plans to give us some options, anticipating that you might have that question. There are what I like to call lots of moving parts, and so you can make adjustments, and it really comes down to what the commission wants to see. These are just thrown out there. However, you can adjust any or all of these different pieces. First of all, Commissioner Williams asked about the deductible. If you look at option 3 on the page, the current deductible for the base plan is $1,000. If you increase that to $1,500, and then also that raised the total out-of-pocket to $3,500, but that's incorporated within that, right? The deductible is included in that. And then bump the ER copay from $150 to $200 and urgent care from $50 to $75. Making those changes would take you down to a 3.6% increase on the base plan, and then similar changes to the buy-up plan that you currently have would then be $1,000 deductible, increase the out-of-pocket, and make those adjustments, and it would come in almost flat. So you do have room, and again, I would recommend that we, you know, just go through all of these different options to determine what we think the staff would most. You know, they don't want to see any of the benefits go down. Of course, nobody does. But if we adjust one, then the question is, which one would be the least painful for the staff if we were to choose to do it? And so option 2, as you'll notice, they've left the deductible alone, but then they've raised the office visit copay, which is another option that saves some money. They've bumped it from 30 to 40 and 20 to 30, respectively. And you can see, going through those changes, that takes us down to a little over a 6% increase.
So if we were to do a deductible and a office visit increase, it might be flat.
Yeah. I mean, you can definitely get there, but you can pull any of those levers in whatever combination you want to as far as in making those adjustments.
What is a common deductible amount? I'm sure it's all over the board.
It is. There are some businesses that choose to put it as high as they can get it, which is $7,350 for this year, and then, you know, let the employees, maybe there's a buy-up plan to go with that. Those are the ones that are just hanging on, trying to keep a health plan because, you know, the costs we've been talking about. In my wallet is a $3,500 deductible HSA plan. So I pay the first $3,500 for me. I think it's $7,000 for my family. And then the insurance then would pick up and pay 100%. We have what's called an HSA, so we put money into a side account for expenses. You know, $2,500 is pretty common these days.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. $2,500 to $3,500 is common.
It is.
I think we've always been, counties always try to give extremely good benefits.
It's unusual at this point to have less than $1,000 deductible. There are several out there that do. I mean, that have a $500 or whatever, but it's unusual. But it's probably just as unusual to have a $4,000 or $5,000 deductible.
That average is at $2,500 to $3,500.
I'm told by the hospitals that the emergency room is being ran over for using it rather than going to a doctor's office or urgent care. I don't know how a person affords versus, of course, urgent care is till what time of day? You know what they're open?
Yeah, it depends on the urgent care. There's different ones, but as far as like at Cox Branson, they have expanded hours and they continue to increase it. But Sundays, it's not open at all.
Okay.
Is a good example. Saturdays are limited hours. I mean, there certainly are times of the day mm-hmm. where it's not open. Now, one of the things, and we've worked with HR to look at some of this stuff, but telemedicine is becoming much more user-friendly than it used to be. And so one of the initiatives certainly that we want to continue here at the county is to promote Direct Connect. Cox has now expanded the hours of that. It's actually not a 24/7 service either, but part of the decision is to try to maybe promote that back as an alternative potentially to go into the ER. Nobody wants to go to the ER, right? And sometimes if you can get online real quick with a doctor and go through your symptoms, certainly they'll tell you to go to the ER if it's something you need to go there for. But oftentimes, 80% of the time, they can handle it and then call in a prescription and get you taken care of without having to do that. So part of it's just really trying to promote those alternatives. And then urgent care, certainly ahead of ER, but there are times when it's just that's the only thing available.
I'm a little different on that. I'm not going to go to the doctor unless I'm very sick, and if I am, I don't want to talk to somebody over the telephone. I don't know how they're going to.
And actually, it's gone to where it's more of a video conference.
Mm-hmm.
It's like on your iPad or whatever.
I think that's
like that.
Required, isn't it?
To make a prescription.
Part of them.
It is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And some love it and some don't. You know, I mean, it's not everything's not for everybody, but it is certainly from a cost containment standpoint for our purposes here and trying to hold our costs down in these renewals. Certainly, we want to have people that want to do that.
Yes.
To educate them on that and have that access.
Well, for example, like if you get poison ivy and you have to go get prednisone or prednisone's right, that's something you can easily do over. I'd feel comfortable doing that over a video teleconference, whatever, with a doctor. If I have got a broken bone, I'm not going to call a doctor. This is broke.
Yeah. I think they'd send you straight to the ER without.
Right.
But there are
instances, I guess, whenever I would feel comfortable.
Well, people have allergies, right, and they just need a Z-Pak, or people have, things that occur on a routine basis. Again, the way that they market the program, and I believe it's accurate, 80% of what people go to the doctor for, they can handle in that type of a setting. I mean, they even have now mental health counseling. They have some other things, and so, part of it used to be that you'd have telemedicine and you never knew what continent the person was talking to you from, and I mean, there was just a lot of drawbacks to that type of thing. Now you can go online, you look at, there's like a digital waiting room, you can look at the physician, where they went to school, how long they've been practicing, are they male or female, I mean, just all of those things, and then, okay, this group of doctors is online now, you choose one. They say, hey, okay, well, it's going to be 15 minutes before that doctor can see you. They have, two people ahead of you in line, and then you put in your cell phone number, and they text you when the physician's free and ready to see you. So,
does it have to be a physician and an actual doctor, or is it a student?
Physician assistant.
PA or whatever. It depends on the service. And so, part of that would be discussions around, what you guys wanted. But in that case, I mean, you'd have the ability to select who you wanted to go with. And if you wanted to see an internist or a family practice or whatever, then you could actually click on the person. So, I mean, again, we'd really need to go through that with the right collateral material to show it to you. But
what's this, those services are provided, like you said, trying to bring costs down? Not just a Taney County issue.
Mm-hmm. So I have the renewal rate development on the right, which is the packet here, and so I'd leave it to the discretion of the commission as whether you want me to run through that now or
how far can we get into it without getting into specifics?